Jesus. We glorify your name, Lord. We thank you and we honor you as Lord and King. Over all the things that you are teaching us, Lord, we are looking more and more to see what we can do to obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Say, Father, give me ears. Give me an understanding heart. Because I want to see. I want to understand. I want to perceive. And most of all, I want to win. Amen? And amen. Well, let me just back this up because I wrote down some of the things that I believe may help so that you won't feel that you are hopeless. Okay? We're going to start with Job. And Job, of course, had a real hard time. And we're going to go to one particular chapter, Job chapter 40. Okay? And yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Job chapter 40. And we're going to start at verse 1. The Lord said to Job, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." Then Job answered the Lord, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. I think it's important to know that he was speaking out of the storm, out of the crisis in your life, out of whatever is raging. "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself?" I mean, that is an intense statement. Would you condemn me to justify yourself? How many times do I see people, and including me, I'm not leaving me out of the hook, trying to defend myself and not seeing it as pride, seeing it as justice? There is no way that I can tell you how many times the enemy took me to that route before I realized that I was on his path and not God's path. Okay? How does he turn it into good is when I finally repent and realize my Savior gave me an example. I don't have to what? I don't have to defend. But boy, have I got some answers. Boom, boom. You know, it's like a storm just raging inside. I want to tell them off and tell them why. And where to get off included. Amen? And it roars on the interior. Well, last night I went to see Mom at the hospital, and I went early, and we stayed until she was finally settled. They moved her into a different room, and that was a gift because it was a better room, a little more quiet and a little more dark because she doesn't like lots of big bright lights, and she was, the night before, I couldn't sleep because one of these fluorescent lights in the hallway was right, and they can't close the doors, and it was just, she didn't sleep. And I got home, and of course, there are challenges in my home, namely a one-year-old. And I love this wonderful challenge. I want to know where you guys would just shake your head and know all about that, right? But anyway, it's a new test for me. I haven't had that test for a little while, and God says I needed to go through it. And so my wife comes in. She was kind of awed that I hadn't moved any of her toys. Now, at one time, I would have been on my knees, probably sputtering on the inside, putting the toys away because she can't walk through the room. What I did differently was I took what was on my chair, put it on a different corner, and left it. And sat and rested in the midst of it all. Now that's not the real me. That's the dead me. Okay? Because the new creation literally had to take over because the dead me wanted to come back to life and sputter and put the toys away and put the room back in order. Anybody relate? Okay. I can do it. My wife went on a guilt trip. And I said, Irene, it's not a problem. Let it go. It's not a problem. I says, it's going to be here tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and it's okay. And I am resting. Because I had determined not to defend and not to accuse. And I was winning until she opened her mouth, and then I wanted to agree with her. How many know what I'm talking about? She was the seducing instrument. She has no clue. And I wanted to agree with her, and I had to do everything in my human power to shut my mouth. I literally saw, you know, I wanted to put a tape over it. So, would you condemn me to justify yourself? And the war within, all right, that it was good. I was cool. I mean, truly, God had just lifted me to that place where I wasn't responding. I did not respond. I was not proud of myself. I was waiting for a word from the Lord. That's what I was waiting for. And I knew it. And that was something new. That was the new creation, man, waiting for something to just lift her up, you know. And I said, you know what? It's okay. We'll pick it up in the morning. I can't tonight. I was just like wiped out. I couldn't go anymore. Energy level gone. You know what that's like. You've been there. Energy levels are gone, okay? It's time to R&R. And whether everything else is falling apart, we're not going to do this. Well, it came differently today because this morning when the time came, there was a 20-minute period where I had to dismantle some things that are my favorite corner, take and put them away, and make room for other things that need to be of a priority right now. But I did bless my grandson. And all those things that I would have moved for nothing because they would have been moved twice. Because we brought in his gift, his chair that kind of lifts him up, which is going to be good. And he's going to hopefully be able to have less pain. And so God used my R&R from last night to just tack on a little more. And then my wife said, well, I'm home early today. And, you know, this afternoon I will pick things up. And I said, that'll be nice. Because she knows how I am. I've been that way all my life. But you know what? I won't be that way anymore. Okay? I will not be that old creation. That old creation is slowly dying with much, much war games that are trying to revive it. So, verse 9. Do you have an arm like God's? And can your voice thunder like this? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor and clothe yourself in honor and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at every proud man and bring him low. Look at every proud man and humble him. Whoa! Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them all in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. There's your mist, girl. Amen? then I myself would admit to you that your own right hand can save you. Your own right hand can save you. Look at the behemoth. By the way, he's possibly a hippopotamus or an elephant, which I made along with you, and which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength he has in his loins, what power in his muscles of his belly. His tail sways like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are close-knit. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs are like rods of iron. He ranks first among the works of God, yet his maker can approach him with his sword. The hills bring him their produce, and all the wild animals play nearby. Under the lotus plants he lies, hidden among the reeds in the marsh. The lotuses conceal him in their shadow, and the poplar by the stream surround him. And when the river rages, he is not alarmed. He is secure, though the Jordan should surge against his mouth. Can anyone capture him by the eyes, or trap him and pierce his nose? Can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook, or tie down his tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through his nose, or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he keep begging you for mercy? Will he speak to you with a gentle words? Will he make an agreement with you for you to take him as your slave for life? Can you make a pet of him like a bird, or put him on a leash for your girls? Will traders barter for him? Will they divide him up among the merchants? Can you fill his hide with harpoons, or his head with fishing spears? If you lay a hand on him, repeat verse 8, if you lay a hand on him, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. Now, who is Leviathan? Well, he's a sea monster. Any hope of subduing him is false. The mere sight of him is overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse him. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. Everything under heaven belongs to whom? God. I will not fail to speak of his limbs, his strength, and his graceful form. Who can strip off his outer coat? Who can approach him with a bridle? Who dares open the doors of his mouth, ringed about with his fearsome teeth? His back has rows of shields tightly sealed together. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between. They are joint fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. His snorting throws out flashes of light. His eyes are like rays of dawn. Firebrand streams from his mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from his nostrils as from a boiling pot over a fire of reeds. His breath sets coals ablaze. A flame darts from his mouth. Strength resides in his neck. Strength resides in his neck. By the way, stiff-necked people, take a good look. It's pride. Dismay goes before him and folds his flesh. The folds of his flesh are tightly joined. They are firm and immovable. His chest is hard as rock, hard as a lower millstone. When he rises up, the mighty are terrified. They retreat before his thrashing. The sword that reaches him has no effect. Did you hear? The sword that reaches him has no effect, nor does the spear or the dart or the javelin. Iron he treats like straw, and bronze like rotten wood. Arrows do not make him flee. Sling stones are like chaff to him. A club seems to him but a piece of straw. He laughs at the rattlings of the lance. His undersides are jagged potsherds, leaving a trail in the mud, like a threshing sledge. He makes the depths churn like a boiling cauldron, and stirs up the sea like a pot of ointment. Behind him he leaves a glistening wake. One would think the deep had white hair. Nothing on earth is his equal, a creature without fear, a creature without fear. He looks down on all that are haughty. He is king over all that are proud. Wow. When you see this particular force using you and me in defense, in anger towards God, in anger towards people because they misused you or abused you or whatever, what are you doing? What am I doing? Trying to defend myself. Am I going to be like Job and end up? Yes. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. Do you ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. What did he do in verse 6? He despises himself. What is he doing? He's realizing that his old creation, the man of flesh, has been putting up a storm. And his spirit man is willing to admit that the spirit within him is able to acknowledge, yes, I thought I had it, but I didn't. I thought I knew it, but I really didn't comprehend. And then he's able to receive from the Lord. Because look at verse 7. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So now who's defending Job? God is defending Job. Who is your defense? Do you need to defend yourself? Is it necessary? It sometimes feels like it. Do you need any help, Lord? I've got a whole mess of goodies I can respond. Yes? Should we do it? Okay. There is a season for us to learn these things, and God is definitely impacting us to be able to see it. When you see it, that's a good thing. If you saw the anger rise, praise God, rejoice, give thanks. Why? Because then you can deal with it. And you can go to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, look at this mess. I can't clean this up myself. It's too big for me. That's humility. The minute you humble yourself, he begins to what? I'm going to help you, kid. No problem. I'm going to help you. And he does. And the Holy Spirit begins to counsel you. Look where you got tricked. Look where you got seduced. Where you believed the wrong truth. Did you believe God's truth about you? How many of you held this Bible and said, this is my Bible? Well, it says what God says about me. Amen? Okay. What do you say about yourself? Who's the authority in your house? Is it Jesus Christ, the Lord, or is it you? How many have a war going on because the you part was the rule? Yeah. Well, you know, I think what this is saying is, watch how the Holy Spirit, you know, uses all these things in Job's life, not only to, let's say, give him a courage to pray for his friends, because it's not all about he gets double, not about all these things being added to him, because they're not really restored. He's lost his family. But they are added to him. And I thought that was an awesome gift, to realize that, yes, you may not regain what you lost, but you'll get better than what you had by really allowing the Holy Spirit to take you through, clean up the garbage, as you have humbled yourself. James 4:7 says, humble yourself, resist the devil, and he has to flee. Now, Which devil? Your own. Okay? Remember the Antichrist? The Antichrist is living inside of me. Okay? He wants me to believe every lie about me. And not to rely on the one who said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's going to be too easy if we let him do it. I want to help him. I want to help him. Okay? So what do? Let's go back here. I want you to close your eyes if you don't have the NIV. And we're going to pray the prayer that Job did. You see, as we pray this as a team, we're going to take others with us because there are many that are not here with us tonight. If you've got a hand next to you, just take that hand. Say, Job replied, so I'm going to reply. I know that you can do all things, Lord. No plan of yours can be stopped. You ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, Lord. But now my eyes have seen you. And I'm asking you, Lord, that I will have the grace to despise the old man. The man of flesh that tries to rule me. And I can depend on you to release a gift of grace with dust and ashes to really understand that the man of the Spirit, the new creation that I am, far above Job's experience, because your Holy Spirit is inside of me, Lord. I'm a brand new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says I am. And I will walk in that freedom. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away my pride. Because I see the pride of self-defense. And now I ask you for the grace to go through and come out on the other side, a brand new creation. Yes, I might have to go a little bit at a time. And I will be patient because of your grace. In Jesus' name, I pray. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Those who have prayed this prayer with us, Lord, give them grace right now, even as we speak, Father. Let them taste of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let them taste of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I announce to you, men and women of God, you are new creations. The old man of sin is dead. He is dead. Don't try to rise him out of the grave. He is dead. Look at your neighbor. Say, the old man is dead. The man of flesh is dead. He tries to rise out of the grave. But I'll push him back down with God's truth. I'm justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm holy. I'm lovable. And I'm gracious. And watch out, world. Here I come with the good news. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, for those who have wondered how and why it's difficult to get rid of this thing, it's because I believe it's like layers. We finally get ready, and the Lord just gives us grace to be able to go a little bit further and a little higher. And you will see some changes. And believe me, pray for one another that you may be healed. Yes. Okay.